The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my lower right, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And what did you think about the walking deadness of returning to campus today, Jim?
Well, it really did look pretty dead. I mean, I saw one public safety officer walking around, and that was it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Campus actually, considering all that, looks very manicured. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
yes.
Pretty,
put together. It's neat, and the shrubs are trimmed and stuff. It looks good.
I mean, we didn't have to show off for commencement this year, a tier, but it looks like it's kept up pretty well, considering.
Yeah.
Turning around here on the big grid of pictures, I see Professor Beth Oljar is with us today.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, hey. What's shaking?
I had my first trip to campus since December last year. A couple of weeks ago was the first time I'd been in my office since December.
Unbelievable. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Dave Chow is with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. What's going on, Dave?
Just another day. It just reminded me, when Beth was talking about falling ceiling tile, that once happened to my office at CCS, but I also had, I think it was one of the air conditioning units too, so I had like 120 gallons of water dropping on my desk too.
Oh,
nice.
So, books, paper, computer. I came back from break and it wasn't pretty. So,
oh no,
Beth, count your blessings. Ooh,
I know.
Yeah, of course, it happened during a break too, not like a less than 24 hour window.
No, either way, still tragic. Never want it to happen to anyone. So,
yeah. Professor Dan Maggio is here with us today. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. The one thing I will never forget as a student is being able to smoke in the classrooms.
Of course.
Being in an English class with not only the teacher smoking, but about five students smoking in Briggs 248, which is a teeny little room with six people smoking in class.
That was not loud when I was an undergraduate. So, I can't believe that you were that lucky.
To think back, it's really shocking that that was even allowed to happen.
It was allowed when I was an undergraduate. The dinosaurs just didn't matter. They didn't care.
I know I've said it several times since we've recorded, Dan, but you remember when I had you for Calc 3 that you would be in the middle of drawing some super complex partial integral and you'd be like, I'm leaving. And then you would just leave the room, have your break, smoke break on the outside, and then you would come back. Your chalk would go right back to where you were, and then you would continue.
Smelling like a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to let the audience know, I have quit, and it's been 11 plus years.
So. Wow.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
I think about it every once in a while. What I want to know from ex-smokers, do they, when they dream, are they smoking in their dreams?
I'm not.
Because I don't know that I've had a dream where I've smoked in my dream.
Beth is very enthusiastic about this.
She's like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
It reminds me, if you don't mind the heavy-handed analogy, that I had a buddy who studied French in high school and spent a whole summer living with a Quebecois family. And when I saw him at the end of 4 months, I go, how was it? And he goes, well, I'm dreaming in French. I got that going for me. And I was like, whoa, that's a big step, but cognitively speaking. So
yes, yes.
Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today.
Hello.
So you had a low humidity run this morning, I would guess.
Very low humidity. Very nice compared to some of the other days this week.
Yes. A couple days ago, it was just gross. Just absolutely gross.
Absolutely gross. And I'll be the first to say, actually, compared to some of you who could smoke in your rooms, in classrooms, vaping came to be while I was an undergrad, and it took very little time. strict rules to come out to prevent students from vaping in classrooms.
Like, I would say less than a total semester.
Yes.
Well, I could do that while I teach this fall. That'll be an advantage. Sweet.
There you go.
The thing we also had oil painters in our classes smoking too. I was like, ooh, too many flammables all in one room.
Well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you can pick up a prize then too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or you can find us on Facebook or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. When last we left the Super Friends, we were handling some very interesting presidential questions from Kimberly Richards, so we'll continue with those. At least we have a finite set of possible correct responses here. Only one president so far, and this goes all the way to Trump, was sworn in by a woman. Which president was that?
Lyndon Johnson.
It was LBJ, yes. Sworn
on
in.
On the plane.
It says U.S. Judge Sarah Hughes, yes, following the assassination of
John F. Kennedy,
November 22nd, 1963, on Air Force
One. What was her role? What was her title?
She was a district court judge in Dallas, and LBJ knew her and so asked that she be brought there.
Yep.
And he put his hand on the Bible that had come from the presidential stateroom. It was John F. Kennedy's Bible. He put his hand on to take the, and it's disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to it.
Yeah. Jackie is just standing there in a
dazed and confused.
How she got through that day or the subsequent days, I can't even imagine.
It's remarkable what a psychological salve she managed to provide during that weekend, though. I mean, as a kid, I just marveled at that. It's particularly the walking. I just thought it was amazing.
You know, Bryan Cranston did a really good movie on HBO called All the Way, where he played LBJ, and it's about the Voting Rights Act, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It was really, really good. His portrayal of LBJ was fabulous.
I mean, he could pretty much play anybody at this point. He's a pretty dang good actor.
If it weren't for Vietnam, we'd remember LBJ as one of our best presidents, I think.
Yeah. And he really had a nose-to-nose showdown with my grandmother's cousin, Dick Russell, from Georgia.
Ah, yes, yeah. Franklin Jella played him in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Plays Dick Russell, yeah.
Dracula played, wow.
Who's the only person ever to take the oath of office, but also administer the oath of office?
Taft, yeah.
William Howard Taft, our 27th president, fulfilled a lifelong dream when he was appointed Chief Justice to the Supreme Court, becoming the only person to have served as both. Of course, in 1925, Chief Justice Taft swore in President Calvin Coolidge, 12 years after Taft himself had arrived as president. This is great, by the way, and I think I remember this one. It's a good piece of American trivia. Along with all of those firsts, Taft was also the last American president to have this.
A Blockbuster card.
A giant-sized bathtub.
It was facial hair, you guys.
It was a facial hair.
Yeah. When he trimmed down to 300, he it was a blessing for the horses when he took a ride.
Can you imagine how many Secret Service it took to surround him? I mean,
I have seen a picture of the bathtub that had to be designed to go in the White House for him to bathe with four workmen sitting in it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow.
Which U.S. president delivered the shortest inaugural address as measured by number of words?
Lincoln?
Mm-mm.
Let me think.
Words.
Shortest.
Gotta be one of those early guys, yeah?
I think so. I'll give you a little bit of comparison here. They claim the longest inaugural address, 8,445 words, came from William Henry Harrison, who infamously, of course, caught pneumonia after delivering that speech and died a few days later. So that's good for him. This speech, the shortest, 130 words.
What?
Let's see.
And Beth is correct. Yep. One of the early guys, but who was it?
Well,
Adams, Madison, Washington.
The Adams.
Everything's been covered here. It was Washington's second inaugural. I honestly think I've heard like the verbiage before. It basically is like, what are we doing here? Get back to work.
He had nothing to add. Yes.
Back to work, you slackers.
Exactly. Which U.S. president was the only one who was sworn in by his father?
Quincy Adams.
You know, that's not what it says here.
Oh, sworn in by, so this is someone who's Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and then his son.
Harrison?
I'm doing my best to really quickly go through this. No, I like the way you're trying to deduce this, but it says here, let's see here. This vice president was in Vermont visiting his family home, which had no electricity or...
Oh, that was Coolidge. Coolidge, after Harding died.
Right. When a messenger brought word of Harding's death, his father, a notary public, administered the oath of office in his family's parlor by light of a kerosene lamp.
A lamplight, yes.
Mm-hmm.
A parlor? Oh.
I had to calm Matt down earlier this week about the possibility that when Trump is defeated, is refusing to leave the White House, which I think is something we don't. As soon as another president takes the oath of office, the Electoral College certifies the election, he'll be escorted out of the building by the Secret Service.
Right. He may go right to the district attorney at that point.
Too. Oh, he's headed straight for prison after he's done as president. I don't think there's any question about it. You know, all of those cases that are in abeyance because of this stupid idea about a sitting president is hard.
Well, I think it will be an interesting exit from the Capitol building for sure.
I think there's I'm probably going to regret saying this on the air, but a very good chance he would not attend the inaugural. I think that's.
Oh, I'm sure.
Almost certain. Yeah. So, but yeah, Biden's quote from the other day was pretty entertaining. It's like, I know several generals that will dispatch him presently.
Yes.
Pierre Trudeau would do it for him.
We'll remove him with dispatch.
Yeah. I mean, the military is not going to be on his side if he wants to attempt this little coup. I think recent events have made that pretty clear. That they're not
enjoying it. I don't think the military is going to support any coup.
No.
Which U.S. president had to retake the oath of office one day later because of an error during the ceremony?
Obama did that.
Yep.
That was Obama 09. Or something, I think, originally. Mm-hmm.
Chief Justice John Roberts said the word faithfully out of sequence. So Obama paused and smiled, seemingly aware of the mistake, like a good constitutional lawyer would be, and then retook the oath the following day out of, quote, an abundance of caution. Unquote.
Oh, wow.
Conspiracy theorists must have loved.
This is what happens when you elect the editor of the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah.
Now, did it change any of the intent?
No.
Or is it just protocol?
Yeah, probably just protocol.
You don't want to leave any, I undotted or T uncrossed under those circumstances.
Yes.
That's why it was important for Johnson to be sworn in on the plane, right? So there's absolutely no gap in the continuity of
right.
Plane. Okay. All right.
Especially during the Cold War, that was a good idea.
It says that after all is said and done, only one president, while president, has held an MBA. What president was that?
Hoover?
Didn't W get an MBA from her?
Yeah, it was W. Bush. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He got it from Yale in 1968. Mm-hmm. Says after his guard duty, Bush continued his education, enrolling at Harvard Business School, where he got the MBA in 1975. Trump, for the record, claims to hold an MBA from the Wharton School of Finance, but actually graduated in 1968 with a BS in economics only.
Yeah. Oh, he got BS all right.
Plenty of that.
He went to the Wharton School, but not for the MBA.
Right, exactly.
And he didn't get a degree from there?
Got a bachelor's degree there.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Didn't get an MBA from there, yeah. Wow. Kimberly, I got to say, we're very much looking forward to you joining us in a couple weeks on the air here. These questions have been great. We have one more to go. So thanks again for sending them in.
Yes, thanks.
Which U.S. president was the head cheerleader at his high school?
Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm not reading fast enough, and that's my problem here. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Oh, wow. You know, Kimberly always has this great background information. No, you know, it says here that it was George W. Bush.
That's what I was going to say for some reason.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought he was in college, so I didn't realize it was high school.
Yeah, it was high school. Other famous male cheerleaders from Celebrity, by the way, include Jack Lemmon, Jimmy Stewart, Michael Douglas, Steve Martin, and of course, Samuel L. Jackson himself. So
I can only imagine the cheers.
Academy High School in Andover, Massachusetts. George W. Bush, head cheerleader. Thanks again
Martin
for
saying that. Martin had the philosophy degree, though, so, yeah.
Hey, you know what? We got a single question submitted from our question thing online. This should be interesting. It was submitted by your colleague and mine, Mary Catherine Harrison of our Department of English at Detroit Mercy. What is an aglet? A-G-L-E-T.
Oh, it's the little thing on the end of a shoelace that is hard.
That's right.
And it enables you to lace them, basically, that enables you to lace your shoes.
That is exactly correct. I love how she doesn't sign the email. It's just the question. Boom. You know, done. We're all set here. Very, very funny.
Send more.
And Matt, the cartoon characters Phineas and Ferb sing a whole song about the aglet.
Awesome. Awesome. I got to say that you guys aren't going to like to hear this, but my youngest, Emmett, who just turned 8 a few weeks ago, I don't know if he's ever in his entire life had tie shoes. They've all been Velcro, which, let's be serious, when you're sending someone to preschool and kindergarten,
that's
the way to go.
Makes sense.
Well, and then when you hit 80, they become useful again.
That's right.
Got it.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 6 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We have a small set of questions here that I think are appropriate from our friend Kathy Riley, Kathy with a K, R-I-L-E-Y, from Glendale, California. And she sent some questions regarding, can you name the product or company that this jingle is from? And jingle means there's going to be some sort of music, but I can't synthesize the music. So let's just say it's
a song.
You can sing it, Matt.
Just sing it for us. It's fine.
So there's some that I can, you know, do and some that are going to be a little tougher because of my age, but I'll do
it. It's out of your vocal range?
It could be. How about a little dab will do ya?
Grill cream.
Grill cream, yes.
Little dab will do ya. They love to get their fingers in
there. We can all use some right about now.
There you go. Actually, that sounds like something I could have tried.
Make me think about George Clooney and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Mm-hmm. I'm a
Dapper Dan
man.
Dapper Dan.
Yes.
What did he use? What product did he use?
Dapper Dan.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or you could talk to Prasad. I'm sure he's got some Indian voodoo cream too. Remember that?
From the $1.25 haircut. That's probably it. Get a $1.25 haircut in Bangalore, he said.
Go to the last drop. Folgers? No.
Maxwell House.
Yeah.
I had the right type of drink.
Right. Yeah, the right.
What's next, Matthew?
How about, it takes a licking but keeps on ticking?
Timex.
Duracell.
Yeah.
Timex.
Yes, okay. Timex. Oh, oops, my bad. John Cameron Swayze, right? What was his claim to fame besides those commercials?
He did the Samsonite commercials, I thought.
He did the Timex commercials for sure.
Okay. But what did he do prior to that? I mean, no offense. I mean,
maybe he's like Jacques Gabor. He's famous for being famous.
I think he did documentaries at one time.
Okay.
How about when it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight?
FedEx.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is definitely one that I could sing, but I'm not going to. Reach out and touch someone.
AT&T.
That's right. Back in the day. How about don't leave home without it?
American Express.
Okay. Mm. One of the credit cards.
Yep.
Obviously, you had to spend a lot of time watching TV in the 1970s to get up, which is why Jim and I are, you know, dying on the spot with all these.
I feel like I'm at a distinct disadvantage here since I only have seen commercials for the first half of my life.
Well, Mara, you should be able to get this one because you wouldn't have had to have seen a commercial. This is actually printed on the product itself.
Oh, I was going to say, print magazines? What? What's a magazine?
When it rains, it pours.
Oh, a Morton Salt.
Mm-hmm, Morton Salt, the little salt girl.
Yes.
And with, you know, get your iodine. If Prasad were here, he'd tell us about that too. I made myself laugh when I read through this the first time because the last one is fairly obvious. All the news that's fit to print.
The New York Times.
Mm-hmm. But I read it as the Simpsons joke because the Springfield Shopper newspaper is all the fit that's news to print. For no reason whatsoever.
I like the motto of the National Enquirer, inquiring minds want to know.
The Washington Post has the best one.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Democracy dies in darkness.
Absolutely. That is awesome.
That's because Marty Baron is their editor-in-chief. Mm-hmm.
So, professors, you're going to love this. We've asked for this a few times, and now it is here.
Ocean liner questions?
Canadian Prime Ministers.
The title on the email is No Questions. Stay tuned. Dear Matt and Profs, I'm sorry to inform you, I have no questions for you this time around. We're still working, but we've noticed that you've been having a tougher and tougher time getting from your panelists a favorite topic to discuss at the end of the show. We love your segment. As the question is open-ended, we get to find out a little bit more about each prof. To help you along, I've supplied you with 15 favorites for you to use. We hope they will help and get out more great answers from the panel. Warmest regards from Valencia, California, Frank. Heroes and family.
Frank. Oh.
Yeah.
So this is going to be tons of fun. And I think that it's already knocking it out of the park on like the first line here. This is great. Let's just do one of these over our great many of shows we're going to be doing here in the future. What was your favorite childhood toy?
Ooh.
Gotta think about that one.
Big Bruiser.
The what?
What was this, Jim?
Big Bruiser. It was a white battery-powered wrecker truck with a red flashing light on the top, and it would pull a pickup truck that you could get in an accident, and you could pop the fender off. You know, it would have a crushed-up fender. You could replace it with a good one and a flat tire that you could replace with a good tire. Wow. It had a working winch on the back. It was great.
Nice.
Well, it was great until my little brother got loose with a blue permanent magic marker one time, and it wasn't the white.
He was learning his pinstriping.
But it still worked.
I liked my Spirograph when I was a kid.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah.
And what is that?
A Spirograph is this thing that had a bunch of templates in it, and you basically could trace pictures and shapes.
Make beautiful geometric shapes, spiral shapes.
Like you can still buy years.
I bought one for a great niece not too long ago. You can still find them.
That's awesome.
I got two. I'm not sure which one, though. My Duncan Yo-Yo or my Erector set.
Oh, I love my Erector set. That was great.
Oh, this is when they're still metal?
Yep.
Yeah, before the plastic ones took over. But yeah, I had one of those. Come on, Dan, what's yours?
I don't have a toy. When I was young,
childhood.
I worked, I drove a bike, and I had pets. So I'm going to go with the bike, the Schwinn Continental. Nice. Was my bike of choice. But I don't remember. I mean, I remember playing with Big Jim Camper.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really a toy. I don't remember a lot of toys. Yo-yo for sure. Now that you bring that up, but okay, well, that's the best yo-yo? I can offer.
Mm-hmm. Play-Doh. Well, like the fun. Butterfly, the golden award, the Imperial, the glow in the dark one.
It was yellow. It had a butterfly shape.
The butterfly.
Yep. Which I think was pretty common. So.
Yep. How about you, Mara?
Maybe. So we had this set of transforming Power Rangers that were Power Rangers, but they transformed into shapes where you could put them all together into like the Mega Power Ranger. That's pretty cool.
Those are cool.
Sounds like something Matt would have said.
Yeah.
Come on, man. What about you?
I mean, yeah, I have to be, you know, from the vein of a generation that every single cartoon that I watched was really just a promotion to go out and purchase something, you know, so I can chart my entire childhood by starting with, and I really regret this too. I let my niece X number of years ago borrow my original Empire Strikes Back Millennium Falcon. I mean, it was like this, you know, and she basically just destroyed it. And it's like, I could have just put that in a box for a few years and let it mature, but well.
And paid for Emmett's college education, right? Yeah.
But no, I was really big into, for a very long time, considering at least like 2 years, 3 years, into like original first generation Transformers. And I had all the ones that were die cast. So I actually still have those and I've kept them in pretty good shape. So
does anybody here remember the Micronauts?
Oh yeah. I remember
the cast metal ones and the plastic ones. Those mm-hmm. are pretty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Articulated. Yeah. Those are pretty nice.
So that was pretty eye opening there. You know,
there's more.
A good view. Well, of course there is, but we're going to, you know, meet them out, Dave. We don't want
to. All right.
Shoot the moon here on our very first show. As a matter of fact, I see we're within about 40 seconds of having to say goodbye. So I'm afraid that that time has come. But this has been a ton of fun. And tell you what, Frank and the Burroughs family, thanks for sending us those favorites. If anybody else wants to send us a list of favorites, it's nice to not have to worry too much about coming up with something on the fly. And I think you all are going to really enjoy going down this list over the next season.
Looking forward to doing the rest of them. That'll be fun.
Yeah, they sound good. Hey, before we go, Dan, did you get a good picture of Matthew's great hairband?
I didn't take the picture Dave did, but yes, Dave, we did.
Take a picture, Jim.
And mine.
And Beth's.
Oh, Beth's got one too. Yes.
And I was telling Mara, my hair just goes down the back of my shirt now. That's all. Easier to keep.
It falls in my eyes, which is why I had to buy the headbands and the barrettes. And I'm like, I don't do girl hair anymore. I shouldn't have to buy this stuff.
Oh my. All right, folks. Well, the time I'm afraid has come to say goodbye, Mara.
See you later.
Dapper Dan.
Hey, you changed my name.
Dave.
See ya.
Beth.
Bye.
Jim.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of, frankly, our homes all over Metro Detroit. It's produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.